Masechta Sanhedrin has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Benny and Joyce Westreich of Los Angeles, California, Le'iloi Nishmas, Harav Yehoshua ben Mireinu Harav Yosef Yoska Westreich, Zechroinu Levracha, and his wife, Gittel Bazev Wolf Westreich, Aleh HaShalom, and Le'iloi Nishmas, Yoyetz Akiva ben Shimon Meir, Zechroinu Levracha, and Le'iloi Nishmas, Avram Dov ben Akiva Yonison Unger, Zechroinu Levracha, and Yibodel ben Chaim L'Chaim in the schus of Chana Ba Zecharia, Mrs. Susan Unger, may she have arichas yomim with health, simchas, and nachas from her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren ad mea ve'esrim shana.
To dedicate a daf, a perik, or an entire masechta, please call 1-888-485-8223 or email info@thehalachacenter.org. The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yitzchak Grossman, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
We are learning Sanhedrin, Lamed Beis Lamed Beis, Gemara brings a brisa. Gemara says, Tanya, tzedek tzedek terdof, echad ladin v'echad l'pshara. The Torah wants us to pursue tzedek, both for din and for pshara. Ketzad, Gemara gives various examples. There are two ships traveling in a river and they meet. Im Ogro Shteyan Shteyan Tovos, they can't both pass or they'll still both sink. Zachazeh Shteyan Ogros, if they go separately they can pass. They're traveling up some kind of narrow stairway, narrow ascent in Beis Charon. Im Olu Shneyam Shneyam Noflim, if they both try to go together they'll both fall. If they go one after another, they can both make it. Haketzad, what do we do? The rule is as follows. Tuna v'sheina tuna, tidacha sheina tuna v'fnei tuna. If one is loaded and one is not loaded, the one who is loaded takes precedence. Krova v'sheina krova, tidacha krova v'fnei sheina krova. If one is close, different discussions in the post can what close means, but if one is close and one is not close, the one who's close has to give way before the one who's not close. Are you staying krovos, staying rechokos? If they're both equal, they're both close, they're both distant. Hatzal pshara beinayim, you make a pshara. Somehow, humala sar zulazu. Whichever one, you flip a coin, I guess, whichever one didn't get to go first, for an arbitrary reason, has to compensate the other one by paying him. Gemara is making a very interesting point. We're used to hearing psharas all over in Chashan Mishpat and Beistin. A pshara means, I have a right, you have a right, we can't both win, so we kind of split the difference usually. Or maybe not 50-50, if I have more right, I get more, if you're more right, you get less. If Beistin fails, one of us is telling the truth, or one of us acts improperly, that goes into the Cheshbon. Here we have a new principle. Simply the fact that one of us needs something more, if I'm carrying a load and it's harder for me to move, or whatever the reasons are, that itself is a reason why I have to give way to the other guy. If they're both equal, then you have to just pick and compensate. But in the first cases, apparently, where I have more of a pressing need than you do, then I get to go first, and you have to give way. This Gemara is actually very famous in general society. Israelis all know this story, because this Gemara is the punchline of a very famous anecdote told about the Chazon Ish in Ben-Gurion. It is said that when they had their famous meeting, they were debating whose vision of Israel should take precedence. The Chazon Ish, of course, stood for traditional Judaism, orthodoxy, Torah, tradition, and Ben-Gurion stood for some newer ideas, Zionism, nationalism, whatever exactly Ben-Gurion was pushing. So the story is told that Ben-Gurion challenged the Chazon Ish. He told him, who's to say that your vision should take precedence? I think my vision is superior. So the Chazon Ish is said to have responded by citing this Gemara. He says, what do we do when we have two camels? The story is sometimes told about wagons. If we have two travelers, one of whom has to give way, so what do you do? It says, Tidcha she'ena tuna mepnei tuna. The one loaded, the one heavier, gets to go first. So the Chazon Ish is purportedly said, we Orthodox Jews, we are loaded with many years of tradition. You're a much lighter wagon. You have newfangled ideas. We get to go first. But for the remainder of this lecture, I'd like to discuss some of the halachic applications of this Gemara. This Gemara is actually cited either in passing or as a central portion of arguments in different concepts of Pshara by many different poskim in many cases, and I would like to discuss some of the various examples of how the poskim have used this principle. So one interesting source is a Shaar Mishpat. The Shaar Mishpat is in Siman Kuf Ayin Aleph, Sivkat and Dalet. There's the Gemara in Ksuvos. The Gemara in Ksuvos mentions, we're not going to get into the detail, but the Gemara in Ksuvos says in various places, in various cases, we don't want a man and his ex-wife, his divorcee, to live in too close proximity. There are complicated halachas, Shuna and Mavui, but in certain cases, we don't want them living together. So the Gemara says, well, if they both want to live in the same Mavui or the same chatzar, so in certain cases, what do we do? How do we resolve their disputes? So the Gemara says, Toshma, this is on Ksuvos, Daftav Chesem and Aleph, Hinei Hashem Metaltaleh Tiltal Agvar. The Navi warns Israel that God will move you, will displace you, Tiltal Agvar, the displacement of a man. V'amarav, Tiltule Degavra, Kashin Midei. It's harder for a man to move, it will affect him more deeply than for a woman. So the Mepharshim discuss exactly why it's harder. Some people say that since it's a man's job to support his family, to feed his family, he has to look for a new job, and he doesn't know people, it's hard for him to get a job. Other Mepharshim say that women, damsel in distress syndrome, that a woman who goes to a strange place, people will compassionate her, a man, people will just shrug their shoulders and say, he's a guy, he should take care of himself. I can look into the Pardes Yitzchak, you bring some of these sources on the daf, whatever the issue is, but as I say in the Gemara, that it is considered to be more difficult for a man to move than for a woman. So what pshat? The Lamaisa, both people want to live here, so it's harder. Good, it's harder. I want to live here and you want to live here. Why do I have to give way? So the Shaar Mishpat, that's in Kuf Ayin Aleph, Sivkat and Dalet, in the middle of a longer discussion, understands that this is the same principle of our Gemara, that when two people are equal, then they won't have to compensate, or you do a guttural in some cases, but when one person needs it more than the other, then there's a rule of pshara that he has to give in, and the other person who needs it more is entitled to the whatever right, whatever they're arguing about. Another similar application appears in the Tu'a Shar. This is in Yardea, discussing the siman of Osav Espino. So the Tu'a Shar in Osav Tess says, he's discussing a question, if two people purchased two animals, one purchased the father, one the mother, one purchased the son, so they can't both shech the animals, because that would be in violation of Osav Espino. So who gets to shecht it? So there's a discussion in the Taz, and the Tu'a Shar is a long discussion also. They go back and forth. You do a Garel, you do other things. But without getting into all the details, again, the Tu'a Shar does invoke this principle. He says, we have a Gemara in Sanhedrin which says that if two people need something and they both have equal right to it, so one method of resolving the dispute is to figure who needs it more. So he seems to say that if one person is making a simcha, or if one person has a serious need for meat, another person is just in the mood for a hamburger, then he seems to imply that this principle would apply, that we say that the one who needs it more takes precedence. Another very interesting application of this principle appears in an article by Tzvi Gardner. Tzvi Gardner is one of the editors of Yeshurun and one of the contributors to the Otzar Foskim, the indispensable compendium on Ibn Ezer, Big Talmud Chacham. So he has a very interesting discussion. It's actually a debate between various others, including Rabbi David Cohen and Rabbi Landesman, about different issues of child custody. This appears in Yeshurun, Volume 7, page Tafkut Ches, I'm quoting from 508. Rabbi Gardner is dealing with a very interesting problem at the root of halachic child custody jurisprudence. The problem is that the halacha gives us basic guidelines, the Gemara gives us some, the Rishonim and Acharonim give us more. The problem is that there are two very distinct poles by which child custody cases are decided. One of them is what lawyers refer to as the standard of the best interest of the child. We say chinuch, a boy need to have chinuch from the father so they can learn mitzvahs and Torah. Girls need chinuch from their mother so she can teach them tznius and feminine ways and other cheshbanas. But basically, the halacha very often looks at what would be the best for the child. On the other hand, halacha also very often deals with rights and almost like Chosh Mishpat rights. Like, for example, the biggest riot is, Ray Gardner brings, that the basic discussion of child custody takes the form of a dispute between the parents in a case of divorce. The father says, I want the kids. The mother says, I want the kids. They have to sign Shtar Berurin. They grant based on authority. it's an adversarial proceeding, like any other dintara. Both parties make claims, both parties explain why they should win, and we don't just go to a rav and let the rav decide. We go to a beis din, and the beis din makes the decisions. And there are various other rights and various other indications in the poskim that we do treat child custody disputes as basic chashen mishpat adversarial proceedings. So this basic point is discussed at length in a very interesting article by Michael J. Broyd, Esquire. He's published this article in various places, academic journals, in JHCS. It's also available at JLaw. So Rabbi Breid basically seems to suggest that there is actually machlokes. He claims that some people work more with a rights-based, some poskim work more with a rights-based jurisprudence, other poskim work more with a best interest of the child jurisprudence. He actually argues, I think, that the contemporary Bate Din, especially in Israel, seem to have standardized more on a best interest of the child jurisprudence. Anyway, Rabbi Breid seems to feel that these two principles are essentially in contention, that there are two different rules and they're not that easy to harmonize. Rabbi Gardner, on the other hand, takes a very different approach. This is in Yeshurun again, on Chelik Zion, page Tafkuf Ches. Rabbi Gardner argues that really, the halacha looks at child, this is not so intuitive, but this is what he argues. Really, halacha looks at child custody primarily as a rights-based issue. Parents have rights to their children. And in an ideal world, the parents are obviously married and happy, so they get the kids. In a not-so-ideal world, where there's contention, so what do? Both parents want the children. We can't satisfy both of them, so what do? So Rabbi Gardner says this, the rule is we apply the principle of the Gemara and Sanhedrin. We look for other factors that help us decide whose claim should take precedence. Now, one of those factors is best interest of the child. Even though the Gemara and Sanhedrin talks about factors about the people, but the rule is when you're looking for a pshara, you can look for any other factor that can break the tie, a tiebreaker essentially. So, best interest of the child, he says, is not our primary concern. We are primarily concerned with the parents. But since the parents are, there's no way to resolve the matter, the rule Chazal gave is that we break their clash, we break their deadlock by looking at the best interest of the child. Rabbi Gardner brings a very powerful raya to this idea that the primary concern is the rights of the parents, not the child, because he says there is absolutely no source, no precedence in the poskim. Rav David Cohen actually challenged him on this. He explains this better in a subsequent letter there in the same volume of Yeshurun. He says there is no precedence whatsoever for Beis Din to ever interfere where the parents are not disputing. If the parents are happily married, Beis Din happens to think that maybe the kids can get a better chinuch somewhere else. Maybe they're not the greatest parents. They had that infamous Balloon Boy episode a few weeks ago where there were all kinds of talk in the papers about child services intervening to take the kid away from the parents because the parents were a little bit odd, apparently, a little bit unstable, perhaps. But Rabbi Gardner points out there is absolutely no precedence in the poskim for such a thing. All the halacha of child custody jurisprudence comes into play only when the parents cannot agree. Parents or other parents are dead and they're heirs and so on. Nowhere do we ever find the halacha says, Beis Din steps in and says, we think the kid would be better off somewhere else if a case isn't filed by the parents. Now, Rabbi Gardner agrees, and this lachar is pashut, that if there's actual danger to the kid, if the parents are abusing the kids or something, if there's actual real possibility of danger, then of course Beis Din must step in. Beis Din is, after all, called the apotropos of Yisomim, and Beis Din certainly cannot allow the kids to be in danger. So that's the question of Osam al-Dam Reachad. Anytime Beis Din sees Ruvain doing something dangerous, potentially lethal to Shimon, Avada Beis Din has to step in and stop them. But Rabbi Gardner's point is that as long as it hasn't reached the level of actual sakana, then we do not open a file in terms of child custody, on that issue of child custody, unless the parents cannot resolve it among themselves and they turn to us. Unlike Rabbi Breid, he understands that the only primary issue is the rights of the parents, and all other factors, including best interest of the child, are only secondary as tiebreakers to resolve the question of custody when the parents can't decide themselves. The last issue I want to discuss is the question of people waiting online. Now, this is a common question that people often raise. What does halacha say about lines? If I'm waiting in line for a doctor to get into an event, at a bank, so and someone wants to cut ahead of me in line, so it's not very nice, obviously. But what does halacha have to say about this? What are the halachic issues involved in waiting in line? Now, there isn't really that much in the classic halacha of waiting in line. This is not a question that the early poskim really discuss. Not in the Shulchan Aruch. But it is discussed because it's obviously because it's a common question that tends to arise in contemporary situations. It does arise in various contemporary contexts. So there are a number of discussions I'd like to survey briefly. One is by Rabbi Yitzchak Silberstein. It's printed in various places, including Halacha Refuah, page 30 Beis. Another is by Rabbi Tzvi Spitz from Israel, in his Sefer Mishpatei HaTorah, in volume 1, Siman Pei Dalet. A third discussion is actually by Rav Kook. Rav Kook in the Sefer Sde Avram. This is in Siman Nun Aleph, page 10 Yud Zayin. So they all discuss, in the context of waiting in line, they all invoke our Gemara, our concept of Kshara. That they all start from a Meiri. The Meiri seems to understand. The Gemara before our Gemara talks about Dayanim, who they should see first. There are various Baladin, Almana goes first, Tom Chacham goes first, how they decide who goes first. Now, some poskim, Rav Kook notes, seem to understand that that's special halacha of the Dayan himself. The Dayan has a mitzvah to see people in a certain way. It's his mitzvah, one of the Sidre Hadayanim, the rules of court, that certain people have precedence. On the other hand, Rav Kook points out, and others point out too, that based on the Meiri, that the Meiri seems to fit those rules of precedence into our klal of tzedek tzedek tirdof, of making charis, with two ships, and two wagons, and two camels. Meiri seems to understand that just as when there are two ships, or two camels, we have to decide between them based on either the question of who needs it more, or other concerns, so too, when two people are waiting online to see a dayan, or waiting in the anteroom to see a dayan, the dayan decides based on the principles of pesher, that whoever needs it more. So, for example, if Zilberstein should suggest that if one person is sick, he would go ahead of the other person, or Talmud Chacham, or Almana, he would go ahead of the other person. Now, Zilberstein actually brings, it's quite interesting, he brings a story from the Adaris, the famous Rabbi Rabinowitz Tumim, the Abbasin of Yerushalayim. He says the story comes from the Sefer, Hizaru B'mamon Chavarecha. Rabbi Rabinowitz writes, he says he was once in Dublin, I guess in Ireland, and he went to see a doctor, and while he was waiting, as I'm sure has happened to many of us, a woman came in and she said, "I was here before, I have to step out for a minute." So he doesn't really discuss that issue of stepping out, but he discusses the basic question, who is entitled to go first when people are waiting for a doctor? So Adara says, "I go first, I'm a Talmud Chacham, but she's an Almana, so maybe Almana has some precedence." So Zilberstein uses this as a springboard to discuss the various rules of lines, and he basically applies the Meiri and says that if one person is sicker or it's harder for him to wait, he would go first, Talmud Chacham might go first, Almana might go first. It basically applies our sugya to these questions of lines. Rabbi Spitz, in his Mishnah Torah, that's in volume 1 of Siman Pei Dalet, he has the following conclusions. He says, first point, it is prohibited to cut into a line. He's over on Asvarim, he says, unless people agree, he says, otherwise you're not allowed to cut a line. Also, he says, regarding another very common question, what happens if someone says, oh, you're in line, can you take, at the grocery store, can you take this and check it out with you? Or you're at the bank, can you do me a favor and hand this to the teller also? This happens in Lake right now, it happens with Lubman Esrogan. Sometimes people tell you, oh, you're in line, can you show my Esrogolsa? You know, you wait in line a long time sometimes. So everyone always fails, well, most people fail, that's not appropriate. Some people don't feel it's not appropriate, obviously they ask you to do it. So what's the status in that case? So Rabbi Spitz says, and his conclusions are not necessarily muchach, but his understanding is that he makes a chiluk like this. If when you began to wait on the line, before you began, someone said, oh, you're going to the bank, do me a favor and deposit these for me. That's fine, he says. Because once you stepped on the line, the same way you have the right to do as much or as little business as you want, even if your business involves quite a lot of documents, that's fine. That's your right as a patron of the bank to do as much business as you want. So too, if someone else gave you, that's like your business. You have a larger portfolio today, a larger series of transactions. But if, however, you already joined the line and you're already online, then somebody approaches you and says, oh, you're online, can you do me a favor and can you take this from me? That, he says, is not appropriate. Again, we can debate his conclusions, but you know, just giving a basic outline, this is what Rabbi Spitz feels. One other very important point made both by Rav Kook and by Rabbi Spitz is they both want to distinguish between public servants, like doctors who are government officials or dayanim who might be communal dayanim, versus private officials. They both suggest, Rav Kook in the Sde Avraham and the Siman and Aleph, and Rabbi Spitz in the Siman and Siman Pei Dalet, that these rules of Pshara only apply to public utilities, to public services. Like they were talking about a road. A road is a public service. A river is a public waterway. So we the two competing, the two competitors for use of this resource, have to follow these rules of pshara. However, they both say, in a case where the service is a private service person, like a private doctor or a private accountant, then they say there is no, he can do whatever he wants. He has the right to set whatever rules he wants. He has the right to see whoever he wants. So if he says, I want to see you, even though you came later, or even though you're not the Talmud Chacham, he has the right to do whatever he wants. He has no, he's not bound by these rules of pshara. One last case we're going to discuss, an application of this Gemara, is a very interesting discussion in the Sefer Mishpatei Halevi. This is by an Israeli Talmud Chacham named Hill Yitzchak Halevi. He wrote a Sefer called Mishpatei Halevi. It's subtitled Tshuvos VaHalacha B'Dinei Mamonos Actualiyim, Real World Shailos. The question is as follows. You're driving a private car. You're in the streets. You're already in the main thoroughfare. And there's a bus. The bus is at a bus station or a stop, picking up passengers, dropping off passengers, and now the bus is ready to leave. And the bus is ready to pull into traffic, and you're coming down the street. Who has the right of way? The bus or the private car? Do you say that since and he applies the principles of the sugya. He said, do you say that since the bus is loaded with passengers and you're only one single private car, you should give way or not? And he actually concludes, this is based on Machlokas HaPoskim. He says, if Machlokas between the Sma and the Taz, this is in Chosh Mishpatim and Reish Ayin Beis, where these halachas are discussed, Machlokas Sma and the Taz had to understand the details of two ships or of two camels. One way to learn, he says, is they are opposing. They're going down a narrow street in opposite directions, not a one-way street, obviously. And then whoever is not going to have precedence is going to have to actually backtrack and go a significant way out of his way. Another way to learn is simply that two people are heading in the same direction. But it's too narrow, so one of them will have to just move off to the side and wait while the other person goes ahead of him. So he says that this Machlokas Poskim. Some Poskim understand that in both cases these rules of precedence apply. But other Poskim suggest, he says, that the only time that the precedence rules apply is if the loaded one will have to really go out of his way by backtracking. If it's just a question of moving off to the side, then these halachas do not apply. Rabbi Hillel Yitzchak Halevi, Lamaisa, he concludes that it'll talk about machlokas, but he suggests, Efshir Lisma Chaldasa Taz. He says perhaps we should say that the guy in the street should keep on going and should have right of way over the bus. He says, first of all, because he says also that's the law. The law gives the right of way to the person already in the thoroughfare. Also, he says, for safety reasons, that would be a better idea. But imagine this is another interesting application of the principles of pshar. Now, again, as he says, usually in traffic, you're going to have to follow the law. A, because it's the law, and there are issues of din malchusa, but even if there aren't, obviously, if the right of way goes one way and you go a different way, you're going to crash. And obviously, that's a bad idea. But in principle, at least, in a case where there's no danger, where everything is slow enough and everything is in enough control that you could, there isn't the danger of a crash and the law doesn't know or doesn't care, then he says we would decide the question by following these rules.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.